Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Glorious day. So wonderful to be with you, with Pastor Tom and Paula and Scruffy. Scruffy, my newfound friend. We're buds. Well, it's wonderful. Thank you for having me here these days. Greetings from my church, Elmwood. They send me out. It's not like I go off, but it's an extension of the congregation, and they're praying. People back, cities are praying for you. Interesting, just before we left the house, Pastor Tom fed his fish in his big fish tank, and they were hungry, and they all going for the food, and while we were worshiping, all of a sudden it was like this room was a giant fish tank, but we weren't in the water that was in the beautiful aquarium that they have, but this water was different. It was sparkling, and it was alive. The water was actually alive, and we were just enjoying being in the water, and it was the light and the life that we were being nurtured in as we were here in God's aquarium today. So just come along, float, okay? Soak, marinate in that goodness. I do have to share with you another one of my bad jokes. I'm compelled to do this. It's sick, I know. But anyway, there was a priest and a pastor from the local church standing by the side of the road one day, and they were pounding a sign into the ground together. And the sign read, "The end is near. Turn yourself around now before it's too late." And as one of the motorists came by, zooming by, he yells out his window, "Leave us alone, you religious nuts! Leave us alone!" But then as the car went around the curve just ahead, the priest and the pastor could hear the screeching of brakes and this horrible sound and a big splash. And the pastor turns to the priest and he says, "Do you think the sign should just say, 'Bridge out?'" Yeah. Sometimes pastors just have to say too much. Yeah. How about this? A couple from Minneapolis decided to go to Florida to thaw out during one particularly icy winter. It could be here in Minnesota or in Wisconsin as well, not just Minnesota. So they planned to stay at the very same hotel where they had spent their honeymoon 20 years before. Because of hectic schedules, it was difficult to coordinate their travel schedules. So the husband, he left Minnesota and flew to Florida on Thursday, with his wife flying down the next day. Well, the husband checked into the hotel, and there was a computer in the room. So he decided to send an email to his wife. However, he accidentally left out one letter of her email address. And without realizing the error, he hit send, but it didn't go to his wife. Meanwhile, somewhere in Houston, Texas, a widow had just returned from her husband's funeral. And he was a minister of many years who was called home to glory following a sudden heart attack. And the widow decided to check her email, expecting messages from her relatives and friends. You can see what's coming. And after reading the first message, she fainted dead away. The widow's son rushed into the room and found his mother on the floor and saw that the computer screen read the following: "To my loving wife, subject, I've arrived. I know you're surprised to hear from me. They have computers here now, and you're allowed to send emails to your loved ones. I've just arrived and have been checked in. I see that everything has been prepared for your arrival tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing you then. Hope your journey is as uneventful as mine was. P.S. Sure is hot down here." Okay, we'll save the rest for later. I have one for Scruffy, but we'll save that one. Hopefully you've been picking up the sheets that are on the table in the back. If you didn't, maybe you can grab some of those. But there's one that we have built, manifestation gifts. Did you get one of those? We talked about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, immersed, filled to the overflowing with the Holy Spirit, and talking about how the Father is the giver of good gifts. And in 1 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthian Christians about a number of church issues. So it's nothing new that churches have issues. They've been having them since the very beginning. And Corinth was no different. And he deals in the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians with a variety of issues. And when you get to, into this section of the book, just prior to this, he talks about how the church is to have Holy Communion, the proper use of communion. And now in chapter 12, if you want to turn there, 1 Corinthians 12, he starts off the section of his letter to the believers there. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. So now we're into a section in the letter dealing with the proper use of the gifts of the Spirit. It's interesting, though, that in the original Greek, in that verse, now concerning, and most Bible translations put spiritual gifts, or maybe sometimes manifestations, or a different word there, but it's technically now concerning spirituals. It's just a plural word there, and we from reading in the context, we realize it's about the gifts of the Spirit, but you could also say now concerning spiritual stuff. Spiritual things or the way of the Spirit, I don't want you to be unaware. And that's still true today. And there's an awful lot of unawareness out there. There's goofy stuff, wacko stuff, crazy stuff. And we have to be built as the followers of Jesus on the Word of God and not basing first on experience and second on Scripture. No, we start on the sure foundation of Scripture and move out from there. And so it's important. And we're not going to read all of this, but particularly here, as we see in verse 4, it says, now there are varieties of gifts. There are a variety of gifts. I'm using New American Standard. It may not match up with what you have, but that's fine. But the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, spiritual effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. Verse 7, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. Verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. Verse 10, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, and to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, and verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. So we get the first layout here of the gifts of the Spirit by the Apostle Paul. Now, he compares this in the following section with the body, how there are different members, different parts of the body. We're not all one giant eye or a giant foot or an ear. We are a body made up of different members. And the same goes for the gifts of the Spirit. They're to work for the sake of the body. And not for the individual. I talked last night about how they are not trophies. These are tools. The parts of the body functioning together for empowering the body of Christ to do the work of the kingdom. And on your sheet here, you'll see some things. My good friend Dan Siemens wrote this up quite a number of years ago, and it's one of the best and easily followed formats that I've come across, so I've continued to use it through the years. But first of all, the word for sometimes we talk about these as the manifestation gifts. And the English word comes of manifest, or manifestation comes from Latin, manifestus, and it means to be struck by the hand. It's a smack. I mean, there's a tangible encounter, being, in a sense, hit, that it impacts the sight or the mind. It's evident, it's obvious, it's revealed. And the Greek word to give it to each is given the manifestation for the common good. And literally, in this case, in the Greek, it's about light going out. The manifestation of light going out, almost like lightning, flashes of supernatural. The gifts are that way. Because as we were, if we were to read all the way through chapters 12, 13, and 14, the gifts of the Spirit have a tremendous way of speaking not just to believers and having a fun time together, but they speak to the unbeliever. And taking it out into the marketplace, into everyday life, and finding that it has a tremendous impact on people that are not walking close to Jesus, but it draws them to Him because it's a flash of the supernatural. And all you got to do is read the supermarket tabloids as you're checking out of the supermarket, and there's always some kind of strange thing on some of those tabloids, and a lot of times it's about supernatural stuff. People are hungry for the supernatural. Unfortunately, there is this attitude in our country right now that you don't necessarily find the supernatural in church, in the Christian church, but people are seeking alternative encounters with the supernatural. Now, in this, so we're going to look at this sheet quickly, and looking at the gifts, a word of wisdom. The first one here is the supernatural giving of wisdom to meet a particular situation or to answer a particular question or to utilize a particular piece of knowledge, natural or supernatural. It's suddenly, boom, it's a piece of wisdom that you know. And you just know that, you know, and it wisely gives a sense of how to go, what to do. Years ago, when I was doing youth ministry in California, we would take the kids for a retreat up into the mountains east of Los Angeles. These were LA kids, and they looked forward all year long to going up to the mountains for this retreat. A very special time together. And I was in charge of the retreat this particular year, and we were about, in the preparation and stuff, and as I was praying for the time, I started to hear, "Don't go to the mountains. Don't go to the mountains." I'm going, "Oh no." You know, and it would not leave me alone. This word was coming, and it was, "Don't go to the mountains. Don't go to the mountains." I heard it over and over again. I took it to the pastors. I took it to the elders. "Would you please pray about this? Would you give me some leadership?" And they said, "Well, you do whatever God tells you to do, Fred." Thank you. Thank you. That's the way we are as pastors and elders sometimes. And so I kept praying, and they said, "We'll support you with whatever decision you come up with." And the closer we got to the weekend, because this started several weeks before going up to the mountains, it got more and more intense, louder and louder. "Don't go to the mountains. Don't go to the mountains." Finally, I said, "Okay, we won't go to the mountains." And I made some arrangements, and by this time, there were no other facilities really available. I mean, you have to book in Los Angeles a year ahead to get these kinds of places and all of this. So what did I do? I called up a pastor friend further down the coast, down in Costa Mesa, California, and said, "Can I bring our high school kids to your church to have a lock-in?" He said, "Sure, Fred, you can do that." And so what are we going to do? "We're going to take city kids and move them further down in the city and have a retreat." Guess how happy they were. You know, I almost had mass rebellion as they found out that they were not going to the beautiful, pristine California mountains. They're going down the coast another church. But they worked with me, and we went down. We had a wonderful first night, Friday night. As we got down there, I don't know if any of you have ever played the game Romans and Christians, where there's Romans and there's Christians, and the Christians are trying to get to a secret meeting place, and the Romans are capturing them and hauling them off. And we played Romans and Christians for a long time and had a great time. "You want to play that today? Will you play?" And we were running around in the nighttime and hiding and finding the secret place, and there were code words and all this kind of stuff. So it was a good night. Well, in the morning, like today, we got up and it was a really beautiful, clear, gorgeous California morning. And there had been rain in the night. We're now into the parking lot and there's some little puddles out there. And it wasn't uncommon. This was kind of this time of year. And so didn't think much of it, but it was such a nice day. I mean, the smog was gone, you know, because it had rained and it was lovely. I got a phone call. Did you hear what happened? No. What happened? Well, this rain had come in off the ocean over the city and came up against the mountains. And often, as in California, it's so the clouds are so full of moisture that they couldn't make it up over the mountains. So they do a download, and it was this torrential rain up in the mountains, and it hit the camp where we were going to be at. There was a mudslide, and the cabins we would have been in were washed away. Don't go to the mountains. We tell the kids, they go, God loves us. God loves us. And they were so touched. But a word of knowledge. And, you know, for that particular moment, that particular time, that particular event, and it saved our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? That's a word of knowledge. Now, a word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation of facts. Details, past, present, or future, which are not based on information that you normally have available. Last night when we were doing ministry here, Dan, is my man Dan here? There you are. You know, we're praying for Dan, and I'm going, some feet, Dan's feet. You know, what is this about your feet, Dan? You know, and, you know, it was something very specific that we're supposed to pray for. And that's all I could hear was this word feet. And I was looking down at his feet. I kept on, it was like, what is this? You know, I said, do you have something going on with your feet? You know, and he tells me afterwards for 2 years he's had an issue with his feet. You know, God knows and he directs. Now, there's powerful ministry being done by common, everyday, ordinary Christians going into the marketplace and manifesting the gift of a word of knowledge where they walk up to somebody, maybe in Shopko or Walmart or in the grocery store or whatever, and the Lord will suddenly give them a word of knowledge about somebody there in the aisle next to the produce or whatever. And they'll gently, you gotta be careful, you know, you don't want to thus saith the Lord, you know, and freak them out, but you, hi, how are you today? You know, little conversations, you know, do you by chance have a problem with your feet? You know, how do you know this? Or, you know, whatever. And you can use a word of knowledge. My wife does it all the time. When the kids were little, mom would say, let's just stop at the grocery store and I'll run in and I'll quickly get a couple things. And we would play a game in the car. How long will mom be in the store? I mean, people would, she doesn't have a sign on her, but it's like she has a sign on her, and they walk up to her and they start talking to her. And the Holy Spirit just does a thing right there in the store. You know, words of knowledge. I mean, they can, it's kind of like under the radar. People have their defenses, but a word of knowledge goes right under and bam. How do you know that? How'd she know that? How could she say that? And very powerful. And then often they are accompanied with other gifts. A lot of times the gifts go in pairs or two or three at a time. So, okay, there's this. Well, yeah, okay, so I know that. But sometimes it means to pray for the person, pray for healing or deliverance or in some way or another. Maybe there's a prophetic word that comes along as well. So then the gift of faith. And this is a deep inner conviction or firm persuasion in the heart based on the hearing of a word or an impression from God. You know in your spirit that something is done. It's boom. It's happened. It's as solid as, you know, this floor. You just know that you know that you know. And that's a gift of faith. We have faith. We have trust in Jesus. But this is boom. You just, it's like, solidifying something in concrete. Often it operates, again, with other gifts. And you just know that you know that you know that this person has suddenly been healed. Or that you know that you know that God is in some way going to do something even before he does it. And this explosion of faith pushes back uncertainty, unbelief, doubt, fear, and it's just like bam, 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 it's going boom. Faith is just strong, an anchor, strong as could be. When I was in seminary, I was praying about going to spend some time of study in England at a seminary over there, and debating about this, and as I was praying, it came a real strong sense that I was to go to this one particular seminary. And I didn't hear an audible voice from heaven, but it was go to England, go to England. Pastor Tom was sharing about an experience he had. You know, when you hear that, you just know that you know. This is it. You know? And so, okay, I wrote to the seminary and I said, I would like to come and study for half a year at your seminary. Well, a letter comes back saying, sorry, we're full. Did I miss something here? And there's this faith that's rising up. And again, I hear the Holy Spirit write back again, a place has opened up. So I wrote back again. This was in the days before computers and email. And so I wrote back again. My letter gets over there. A place had opened up. They write back, oh, by the way, a place has opened up. You can come for the... And the Lord told me the day that I would get the response from England. And it was a day in October. And in St. Paul, at where I was at seminary, we were doing some yard work for some neighbor ladies near where we were living, my roommate and I. And my roommate comes running with this letter over to where I was raking leaves for this little old lady. And he says, Fred, there's a letter from England. And that was the day that the Lord had said I would hear. I opened it up and said, you've been accepted to study at our seminary for the next semester. You know, I knew that I knew. You just know. And boom, it all came to pass. Gifts of healing. This is the one that has plural. Gifts. Not just the gift of, but gifts of healings. It's plural. Supernatural ability to administer healing in order to restore health to body, soul, and spirit. It demonstrates that at times, it isn't like dial up a healing. You don't always get what you want. God is willing to grant a partial foretaste of the perfect health that will be ours in eternity. Any healing that occurs here is only partial until we get to heaven, right? Because we're never totally healed. But God does heal. He does heal. And we find that that God does do wonderful things. I don't understand why sometimes healing will occur and other times it doesn't. It's part of the sovereignty and the mystery of who God is. I have believed and prayed for healing for many, many, many people. People have been healed. Not always, but in numerous times. My own mother had cancer. We prayed for her every day, every day, every day, praying for her to be healed. And her downward decline just kept going. Never stopped. Never changed. And there was a point after she passed, right at the time she passed away, it was like, yeah, you talk about gifts of healing, God, in your word, but what about mom? And there was this feeling that, can I trust him? Can I trust him? What is this? When he says to pray for one another, you know, anoint with oil, call for the elders of the church, and we've been doing what we thought we were supposed to do, and yet it didn't happen. And all I can say is that this is not a catalog. It's not a dial-up. You can't manipulate God to get what you want. We respond in obedience to what His Word calls us to do, to ask, to seek, to knock. One dear lady that, a very precious friend of ours, She had breast cancer, and it had metastasized into other parts of her body, went to see her with a friend, and she could barely, she was lying on the sofa in their living room, and she couldn't sit up, couldn't move, and I had a lovely visit with her. Her name was Barb, and we said, Barb, can we pray for you? And she said, yeah, that would be fine. And her church had been praying for her loved ones, her children. She had little children, a family. Everybody's praying. Well, we started to pray with Barb, and this is one of the most dramatic experiences that I've had. And as we prayed, all of a sudden, the anointing of the Holy Spirit became extremely powerful, and it was suddenly like it was like I'd stuck my hand into a light socket here. And this hand, the current was going out here. And literally, it was vibrating so hard. And when I put my hand on her, it was like putting my hand on a hot burner on a stove, and I couldn't get it off. It was stuck on her. And my roommate, and we started praying for her as she was on the sofa, and the power of God is just going like this into Barb, and it's just blasting her with this heat. And pretty soon she literally vibrated off the sofa onto the floor. And we kept praying. I mean, I was stuck to her. You know, we're down here now, and we're praying and we're praying and just going and going and going, and finally it began to subside. How are you, Barb? You know, I feel marvelous. You know, I feel so good. And she hops up and she starts moving and dancing and bending and all that. And it was glorious. I mean, she was energized. She was full of life. I mean, she just literally glowed. It was tremendous. And 2 days later, she had a doctor's appointment. And the cancer had metastasized and had begun to eat away her ribs. The bone was disintegrating and disappearing in her rib cage. And this was a particular exam where they were going to see the progress of the cancer because it hadn't been responding to the treatment. And they did x-rays again. And then they had to do a second set. And they came back into the exam room and said, "This is your X-rays from a month ago, and these are the ones from today. And your bones are back, your rib cage is back, you know. And the cancer, and she was fine. She had no pain, nothing. And she was this way for months, and then she started to feel crummy again." I'm going to be honest. She started to feel crummy again. And people would pray with her, and the power would come on her again. Even her daughter in kindergarten would lay hands on Mommy, and the power would be released, and Mommy would get energy to be able to do what Mommy needed to do. And it was on again, off again. She'd be better, and then the feelings that would come with the cancer would surge back and forth, and I was with my friend. We had gone to see her, and he and I had tried to pray for her on a regular basis. And this particular, I said, I can't see Barb in my mind's eye. Something's going on. I said we should call, and we did. And she was in the hospital, and the cancer had gotten so bad that she had been hospitalized and she'd gone into a coma. And basically, she was dying from the cancer. The pastor came into the room. We were told this later. Came into the room, was praying for her. She opened her eyes, looked at him, said, Pastor, we won the battle, and died. Yeah, that's part of the mystery of the power of God, the love of God. Her children are... You know, they went through that with her. Both of them are actively involved in ministry, and lovely adult. I mean, this was many years ago now, and going on with their life. And in fact, her husband eventually remarried a doctor, a woman doctor, and doing well. But that's the story of Barb. And I don't get it totally. But I know this was real. This is not a made-up story. This involves so many of our friends and dear ones, and so there's sometimes a mystery of why things happen as they do, why they don't happen when we want them to. And back to when my mom died, and this feeling of maybe I should just quit this praying for healing. It causes too much heartache, too much pain, and the Lord said, "Don't stop," you know. And there was this tremendous sense, instead of backing away from God at this moment of intense grief, that I should push into Him, even though I didn't know, I didn't understand what was going on. And so I purposely, against what I wanted to do in one sense, I pushed closer, pushed towards Jesus, into His comfort, into His care. And it was like I was in this cave almost. It was this dark and miserable cave because of the grief. And I pushed on it and pushed on it. And suddenly it was like, in my mind's eye, there was like a crack there in the back of the cave. And I squeezed agonizingly through this crack into this special place of presence with Jesus. And it was almost like a secret room. And in that place of closeness with Him, there was incredible comfort and grace given to me in this time of my mom's death. And if I had listened to that voice, like, "You can't trust God, you can't count on Him, see, He didn't come through for you," if I backed away, I would never have known the beauty of that intimacy in that time of loss and sorrow. I'm going to be reunited with her. I know she's gone to be with Jesus, and whatever healings happen, as we read here, they're only partial until eternity. Even Lazarus, who was raised by Jesus, he died again, you know. It happens. But Lazarus will be there, and we'll all be together, and we'll understand. Sometimes I say, you know, people talk about, when I get to heaven, I've got some questions to ask of the Lord, you know. But Scripture says we're going to have the full mind of Christ. And so in my wacky sense of humor, it's like all of a sudden we all get there and go, "Oh, now I know." You know, everybody at the same time, "Oh," you know, because we have the mind of Christ. We're all getting it suddenly. We see, as it says here in 1 Corinthians, we see through a mirror dimly, don't we? But we trust, we obey, we do what He commands.